The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
Of consecration. The benefits of consecration. And my Bible is turned to the book of Leviticus. My Bible is turned to the book of Leviticus. Chapter 8, verse 22. Leviticus chapter 8 and verse number 22. I read 22, but I'll go backwards and read other verses. I first want to capture the word consecration here. So Leviticus 8:22 says, "And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it, and Moses took the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot." Take note of 22. "And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram." There were elaborate processes for putting a priest in office. Similarly, there were elaborate processes for making ready a priest or the high priest to undertake a sacrifice or to perform a duty in the presence of God. One of the things that went into it is what we are going to study about today. And this has to do with the subject of consecration. So what is consecration? Number one, consecration is the act of declaring that something is sacred, holy, or set apart for God's purpose. So consecration is the act of declaring something as sacred, as holy, or set apart for God's purpose. For instance, the communion that we take, we have the communion wine and the bread, or the communion wine and the wafer. They are very ordinary, normal, common things which have been obtained from nature. So there's nothing spectacular about them as long as they remain in the natural world. But immediately we decide to use it for the purpose of the Lord's table, and we set the wine apart and set the bread or the wafer apart, we have consecrated it to God and for the purpose as such. Which simply means that God identifies with it because it's part of his ordinance and it's part of the instructions that he has given to his people. Now, it means that these things lose their natural properties and take on supernatural character. Is somebody hearing me? So now when you are served with the communion, and you are served with the bread and the wine which has been blessed and set apart and consecrated for the purpose of God, it carries with it a certain grace. That is why we call them the Eucharist, which means they are elements that bear the grace of God. So you do not handle it anyhow. You handle it with respect in your heart. You handle it with honor to God, and you handle it with faith, believing that when you apply it by partaking of it, this thing will work for you. Is somebody understanding what I mean? The plates, the cups, the spoons, and the various other elements in Solomon's temple were ordinary, normal things, some made of silver, others of gold. Normal, ordinary things. Until Solomon set them apart and dedicated them to God for spiritual purpose, for the purpose of the kingdom of God, that is when they became consecrated for the use in the house of God. Any other use to which it was applied was an abuse. It was a wrong use. That is why when King Belshazzar took those things and used them for a heathen party, used them for a demonic party with his concubines in attendance and his priests and other things in attendance, God was very angry, and he came down, and that's when King Belshazzar lost his kingdom. He thought he was dealing with only spoons and cups and plates and other kinds of wares. But the moment they were consecrated to God, you don't joke with it. They have been specially assigned to God, and therefore cannot be misapplied to any other use. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Number two, the word consecration in the Latin is the word consecare. Consecare is spelled C-O-N-S-E. C-R-A-R-E, consecrare, C-O-N-S-E-C-R-A-R-E. It means to dedicate something. And in our context, it is a dedication to God. It means to simply roll it over to God. It's a life that is giving to God. Number three. The word consecrate also means to become devoted to God. When something is devoted to God, it's totally sold out to God. No part of it remains for human usage. It's just sold out to God. The word devoted also means a loving and loyal commitment. So when we are devoted to God, we do it, number one, out of love, and number two, our loyalty does not change. Devoted also means to be steadfast and consistent. Times may change, things may change, but you don't change with respect to your relationship with God. People may go and come, but they must find you in the house of God, doing what you were doing 7 years ago, 16 years ago, 25 years ago, 44 years ago. Can I hear an amen? So in your devotion, you have literally presented yourself to God as his vessel, so that he can use you. You have presented your time to God. My times are in your hands. That's what the psalmist says. So you present your time to God. It's no longer yours. It belongs to God. So when it's time for God, you don't apply it to yourself. When it's time to worship God, you don't apply it to yourself. You give it all to God. Let me hear a good amen from somebody. Secondly, you devote your talent. If you're a musician, you devote it to the house of God. You give it to God. An electrician, a plumber, an architect, a seamstress, like this woman in the Bible who died and was raised back to life. That was Dorcas. She dedicated her talent to making clothes for the saints of God. And it was when she died that one of the apostles says, no, this woman cannot go that way. She was sewing for the household of God, and they raised her back to life. Can you put your hands together in that? So you don't hold anybody at ransom. You don't say that I'm the greatest prayer warrior, I'm the biggest counselor, I'm the greatest musician, I'm the most talented instrumentalist, then you hold the church at bay. No, you devote it. Anything is in the house of God. Number three, you devote your money. Your money is not yours. If he didn't give you, you will never have it. It was he that gave you the contact. He gave you the open door. He gave you the opportunity to work. He gave you the income. In fact, even your retirement benefits, he's the one giving it to you. So you must realize that God must participate in your finances. That's when we are talking concerning the economy of God. So your money is not yours. No matter how hard you work, if God doesn't bless you, you can never be blessed. Oh, say amen to the word of God. Number four, you devote your property. You have lands, you have cars, you have houses. You devote it to helping the household of faith and the people of God. And number five, which is the most important of all, you devote your life. Your life must be completely sold out to God. Your life must be completely handed over to God. You don't hold back any portion of it and say, God, you can use this one, but I will use that other one how I want it. No. It's important for you to appreciate the fact that you must be devoted to the Lord. Paul was so devoted that he said, I die daily. In other words, Paul says, every day I turn over my life to the Lord. Oh, come on. Yesterday he may have used me for mighty miracles. The week before, amazing miracles. But today is a brand new day. And because of that, I will go into his presence, stay in his presence, commune with him, so that he will show me the way and lead me regarding what I should do. If that is also becoming your desire, can you clap your hands and shout amen to God's glory? There are two examples in the Bible regarding devotion. One of them was a woman. It is believed she was a widow. And she's Anna the prophetess. Anna the prophetess decided that at the stage where I am, there was nothing better that I could do but to hand over my life to God. And this is how she did it. She went into the temple and decided she was going to be an intercessor. She was going to be a prayer warrior. And she kept praying. Jerusalem. She kept praying until the parents of Jesus brought him to the temple to be dedicated. There was this other man, Simon the prophet. He said, God, defer my death. God, don't let me die now. Let me have this opportunity of setting my eyes on the Messiah that is to come. And when I've done so, then you have the right to take my life. And the Bible says, Hannah the prophetess and Simon the prophet were in the temple seeking God daily. The question is, what were they eating? They were in the temple daily. What were they using to buy soap? What were they using to buy some of their personal needs? It was the contributions that were brought to the house of God, for which some by the Levitical laws were assigned to people who were priests and ministering in the house of God so that they would be catered for. Some people had to pray for Christ so that he would not be destroyed. And in our time, somebody else must be praying for you so that the Lord preserves your life. If you believe that, put your hands together for God's glory. Somebody else must be praying for you. And such a person must be honored. So they gave their lives to Christ. Turn to the next person and ask the person, is your life really devoted to the Lord? Because the way, ask the person, is your life really devoted to the Lord? Because the way you are picking and choosing the services, you are picking and choosing events. When the church says that they have a prayer all night, you pick and choose. The church says that they have a revival, you pick and choose and you don't appear. The church says that we are doing this or we are doing that. You pick and choose because your life is not completely given to the Lord. Listen to me. When you give your life to God, he will finance what you are doing. If you are waiting for the money to come, it will never come. Hannah the prophetess and Simon, if they had waited, the money would never have come. But they set themselves in motion, and God catered for all their needs. They never lacked anything. They were right in the temple. May that be your testimony too. Can I hear an amen? So the number three meaning of the word consecration is devote your life. In order to devote your life, you must separate yourself from the things that distract you. Some of the things that distract you may defile you. They are the things that take your attention from God. They are the things that take your attention from the Lord so that you cannot focus your time and focus your attention on God. In order to focus your attention on God, you must prioritize. You must prioritize your spiritual life over your secular life. When we say something is in the order of priority, it's in the order of importance. You cannot place secular life above spiritual life. Because one day when we are out of here, it is only spiritual life that will count. One day when we are out of here, it is the things that we did spiritually in honor and glory to the kingdom of God that will ever count. So you prioritize your spiritual life over your secular life. By all means, have some fruit juice. By all means, have a meal. By all means, go for a leisure. But the most important thing that must lie before your eyes must be your spiritual life. So when you rise in the morning, you want to say good morning to God before you speak to others. Can I hear an amen? I'm not saying when there's a need in the house, don't attend to it. But I'm saying that make sure that your devotion is completely and totally given to God. You are undivided in what you do. One of the ways to stay your mind on God is to meditate on the Word. And by that, I would like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. While I'm preaching now, some people's minds are wandering in some other places. Some people's minds are traveling in the market. Other people's minds are traveling where the quarrel occurred yesterday. Other people's minds are traveling because they don't have money in their purses and wallets and pockets. But the way to get your success is shown in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. It says, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Meditate means to focus your thoughts on the Word of God. To focus your thoughts on the presence of God. To focus your thoughts on the person of God. Many times when we use the word meditate, we feel like it is the Eastern religion where you meditate into astral travels and focus on the gohonzon so that something astral will happen to you. No. Let me ask you this question. Assuming somebody calls you a fool and you are not a fool, and the person says you don't know anything and insults you openly, do you know you think about it for a long time? Yeah. The way you are thinking on it, you are meditating on it. You are meditating, but you are misapplying your thoughts. But if you get it the other way around, and then you focus on the Word of God, and focus on what God is doing, and focus on His promises, and meditate on the things that He has said in His Word, then you are satisfying Scriptures. So the Scriptures say, meditate on these things, make effort. God told Joshua that he cannot have good success and prosperity until he meditates on the Word day and night, consistently, day and night. In the day you sow the seed of the Word on your thoughts. In the night you sow the seed of the Word on your thoughts. Your thoughts cannot be running wild while I preach the Word. Amen. You see, if you are meditating on the Word, you won't sleep like that. Some people are meditating on their boyfriends, what they would do to them after service. Mafitele. You know, afitele. Iba afitebo, iba ashokbo. So your thoughts are negative. Your thoughts are on your landlord. Your thoughts are on your uncle who has not been helping you. You are getting it wrong. Keep your thoughts on God. And not, I didn't hear an amen, somebody. Keep it on God. You must make an effort to take yourself away from those thoughts that are making you drift. So it says, meditate on these things. Number two, give thyself wholly to them. In other words, be devoted. Be sold out. At any given time when people are looking for you on a Sunday morning, they must know where you are. Early in the morning when we rise up, they must know what you are doing. They must say that he's in prayer, so this phone call will not work. They must not fix a funeral meeting on a Sunday morning when you are to come to church. Child of God, will you obey men or you will obey God? You mean when you are not there, the meeting will not proceed and the dead will not be buried? If the person prioritizes spiritual life over secular life, the person will not fix a funeral meeting on a Sunday and you are rushing to the meeting. There's something wrong. I doubt your Christianity. You are not committed. You are not established. You are here. You are meditating on the meeting. You want to do one, two, and rush out. There's something wrong with you. I'm not pleased with your commitment. Devote thyself wholly to them, the latter passage, that thy profiting may appear unto all. God says, when I'm blessing you, after having meditated on my word and given your whole life to it, I will bless you in such a way that everybody will notice it. Everybody will notice it. Your primary school friends will notice it. Your secondary school friends will notice it. Your tertiary institution friends will notice it. Your relatives will notice it. They will see you are blessed. Shout amen and put your hands together. He says, I will bless you. Your life will not be hid. You will be like a lamp on a hilltop. Everybody will notice there's a change in your life. They will notice there's a transformation. They will notice there's a glorification. And it's simple, just that. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Give yourself to the promises of God. Give yourself to the word of God. So that your profiting may appear unto all. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and I will draw nigh unto you. The first step is to be taken by you, and the second step will be taken by God. And when God is closer to you in your walk, you will see demonstration of power. I didn't hear an amen. The Bible says, and God was with Joseph. Joseph drew near to God, and God drew near to him. God was with Daniel. They threw him into the lion's den, but God appeared there. So, consecration is simply a response of gratitude to God's mercies. He should have condemned us. He should have destroyed us. He should have judged us and thrown us away. He should have had nothing to do with us. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So after he has died for us and he has called us into his kingdom and we are washed by his blood, what we daily need to do is to hand over our lives to him as a life of consecration. So consecration is a radical desire to dedicate your life unto God. I didn't hear an amen. Oh, shout a bigger amen. Let the third one be a consecrated amen to the Lord. Number four. Consecration means to be anointed. Because in the examples we saw, concerning how Aaron and his sons were installed into office by the killing of a bullock or a ram and the blood collected and applied to the tip of the right ear, the tip of the thumb on the right hand, and the tip of the big toe on the right foot. At the end of the day, the anointing oil was applied, and it was applied to distinguish them. The anointing oil is a factor of distinction. Jehu was seated at the gates with his colleagues just like any other neighborhood. And the prophet of God sent a younger prophet and said, when you get there, pour the oil onto him, onto Jehu, and tell him he has been anointed as king, and walk away. Just that simple act, come on, of pouring of oil under the inspiration of the words of God unto Jehu's life, a man who could not face Ahab, a man who could not stand Jezebel, was suddenly clad with the power of God, and it separated him from the people at the gates. And oh, come on, can he? Made him an amazing warrior, and he went and took the sword and got a following and dealt with the enemies of God. Today, as I preach, I declare that the anointing of God will fall upon you. May the oil of God fall upon you. Oh, you are not saying, why you need to say amen? You don't say it all. That is a factor that would distinguish you. David was a shepherd boy. He was living in the bush, but he was playing his harp and praying to God. And God would see his devotion. He was tending the flock of his father, but his heart was devoted to God. When Samuel was sent to the house to anoint a king, Samuel thought it was the more glorious older brothers. But God disqualified number one, number two, and number three. And then the prophet asks, is there no other person in the house? I want you to know, when you think you are not qualified, God will fetch you. He will seek for you. Even in the backside of the desert, he will send for you. He will pour his oil over you. He will distinguish you and make you such a great person you have never imagined. Receive this with a shout and with a major clap offering. Amen. So one part of the consecration is the anointing. And when we come to anointing services, don't joke. I wasn't a preacher until one day God said I was called. And not that I called myself and I want to harass anybody to make me a pastor. There are some young people. I read a text that was sent to me yesterday. And the young person was telling the senior pastor that by the dreams and revelations he's having, by now he should have been long time a pastor. It's long overdue. I'm quoting him. It's long overdue. Now listen to me. The same Bible in the book of Hebrews said, this honor no man takes unto himself, except that which God gives. So you cannot quarrel to be anointed. You cannot fight. You cannot harass people to be anointed. He says he leads prayer in church, and therefore he's doing the work of ministry. So for goodness sake, his senior pastor must call him pastor. Why, brother? The policy is that, look, work without a title. Prove your ministry. Oh, come on, come on. And let people recognize there's a grace on you, that you without a title, look how God is using you. Rather than going for a title, are you a boxer who's looking for a title belt? So whether a king was being installed into office, whether a prophet was being prepared into office, whether a priest was being prepared into office, one of the distinguishing factors was the anointing. It summarized the consecration. When I say there's a consecration service to come on a weeknight service, you will find some people don't care. It's because you don't care that your life is still ordinary. One small anointing on you can make a big difference in your household. Ah. Somebody says, oh, I'll do it at home. If it was to be done at home, then why didn't Jehu anoint himself in the house? Sometimes God has to send a vessel and put his word in his mouth and declare the word over you as he anoints you. Without even applying oil, I declare you are anointed for victory, anointed for breakthrough, anointed for promotion, anointed for enlargement of coast and territory, and anointed for prosperity. Shout a bigger amen than me. The anointing always distinguishes you. It does. It will change your location. It will change your position. It will change your sitting. It will change the way you are handled. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? They may not know you, but they will meet you and they will treat you differently. Oh, say amen. Say amen. Recently, I was standing by somewhere and somebody came. The person doesn't know me. And it wasn't in this country. And the person came and said, "You look like a pastor." I said, is there a way pastors look? Do our foreheads show something? But the person was talking spiritually. I didn't hear an amen. Can I tell you this? You look like a blessed child of God. Yes. So may you be treated as such in your business transactions and in your domestic assignments. Oh, I like your amen. I like it. Number five. Consecration means to be filled or to be made full. I like this one. The Bible says a group of people came to the Lord. And when they came, they were filled with themselves. So God sent them away empty-handed. They didn't come with a desire and a need to seek for his righteousness. They didn't come with a desire that what we know is nothing, but God knows the greatest and that he must bless them. But they came with the attitude that we have it, we know it. We are scribes, we are Pharisees. And the Bible says God sent them away empty-handed. But those who came with the attitude of submission and humility, God filled their lives and blessed them. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Today, the Lord is filling your life. Your life is no longer going to be empty. It's not going to be filled with the wrong things, but with the right things of the kingdom of God. It is what fills your life that manifests in your life. So may you be filled with the anointing of God. May you be filled with the wisdom of God. May you be filled with the favor of God. May you be filled with the power of his anointing. May you be filled with his grace for advancement. It is when you are consecrated that God puts something in your hands. Now look at this scripture. Look at this scripture. It is when you are consecrated that God puts something in your hand. Yes. I didn't hear an amen. Oh, shout amen. Amen. Now, still go to the book of Leviticus. I'm trying to pick out my scripture. Are you in the house? Are you really in the house? Okay, let me pick it from here. Okay, there's a scripture in Leviticus, but there's another in the book of Deuteronomy. Oh, are you in the house? Now, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Oh, I circled this thing. Just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Now, before you go to Deuteronomy, come back to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. From verse 30, and his own hand shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast, and it shall be, and it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall bend the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons, and the right shoulder shall ye give to the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offering. The wave offering is different from the heave offering. I'm going to explain something with the shoulder. The wave offering was done this way. They took a certain portion of the body of the animal and waved it toward the house of God, toward the congregation, toward the tabernacle. And they waved it back to the priest. So in one vein, we have dedicated it to God. In another vein, when it is done, those portions belong to the priest. Nobody shall touch it. It is so that they don't live empty-handed. The Bible says it was a shoulder. The shoulder is a symbol of strength. It says it's the right shoulder. It shall be placed in the hands of the priest. Today, I prophesy, you are not living here empty-handed. The heave offering is different. It may be a stock of plants harvested, and it is waved up and down instead of side and side. The wave offering was side and side to the temple, to God, and to the priest. But the heave offering was up and down. In other words, unto God. And to the congregation of the people of God. You're not getting the whole thing. But the shoulder was given to the priest. And amongst other things, they gave part of the intestines, including the liver. You know, the nourishing parts were given to the priest, as well as a certain portion of the head, the jaws, when you read it, to symbolize strength and power. I want you to know today, your weaknesses are departing. There are some of you, when you dream, somebody is struggling with you. Somebody is fighting with you and contending with you for something that you are carrying in your hand. From today, those kinds of dreams shall cease in your life. If they ever happen, you would defeat the person. You would take back what belongs to you. That demon cannot take your child from you. That demon cannot take your breakthrough from you. That demon shall not take your glory from you. God will keep it with you. Shout amen to God's glory. And Pastor, I dreamt. I saw two people. They were like witches and they were fighting with me. Stand and consecrate yourself, because that's where your strength is going to come from. I'll come to the benefits very soon. I'm just defining consecration at this level. Stand and fight. Get up and fight. Don't stand and say, Pastor, down again, la, vemokon come in pleno goe, bahe ende, ami no goe, ami no go vai. Come on, show here no face le. Take it back, fight back, be aggressive, delay your meal that morning. If you don't sense it's over, continue the following day. Continue for 1 week until you have your thing back. There are spirits that seek to come in to desecrate you. When we say desecrate, to defile you, to make you unclean, to make you filthy in the sight of God, so that what you need, God will not give to you. But today, I didn't hear an amen. You are cleansed. You are sanctified. You are washed by the washing of the water by the word. The blood of Jesus avails for you and prevails. And as we fellowship with one another, may the blood of Jesus cleanse you and make you pure, that any weaknesses in your body shall depart and the strength of God shall become your portion. May your arms be strengthened. May your feet be strengthened like the hands' feet. May you say like the psalmist, that he teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight, that the bow of strength I even broke with my hand. May you break the bow of contention that the enemy brings against you in the name of Jesus Christ. Spiritual warfare, you have to be serious. You have to be aggressive. You have to stand. You have to take the portion of the shoulder. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 9, Saul was looking for the lost donkeys of his uncle. He had been sent. But before he arrived, God had spoken to Samuel, because they sought for 3 days, they couldn't find. Then they asked, is there no prophet in the land? Is there no one with the word of God in his mouth? And they say, yes, there's one Samuel. So they went to him. And when he got there, God said that you are going for a lower purpose, looking for the lost donkeys. But I, Jehovah, I have a higher purpose for you. And today, you will be anointed, distinguished, empowered to be king, to lead the people. But before then, we killed a bullock in the house. And I asked my cook, my chef, Samuel had a chef, so that he ate balanced diet. A pastor has a chef now. Hey, a cook here, Shia. Samuel had a chef and ordered the chef to preserve a certain part of the animal for Saul, because he was going to be appointed as king, and kings deserve king's portion. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, Wherefore you must show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you are a royal, you are a royal. There's a royal seed in you. There's a seed of royalty that has come from God. You are not an ordinary person. You are the king's daughter. I say you are the king's son. And you are ready to rise to take your position as king. Come on, if you are ready, shout it. I want to hear a real shout, because you are taking your position by violence in the name of Jesus. Mama Chwade. Oh, I say clap again. Shout amen. Look at the part that was kept for Samuel, for Saul, that Samuel instructed. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. 1 Samuel 9, 23. And Samuel said to the cook, regarding the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. That means put it aside. Verse 24. And the cook took up the shoulder. That which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Saul said, behold, that which is left, I set it before thee, and eat. For unto this time has it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And I will say this. I used to live with someone when I was young who owned birds, because the person used to be in full-time poultry farming. But when the person moved into another vocation, the person often had in the backyard a number of fowls being reared. And I remember I was the one who was keeping them. I'll clear the place. I'll change water in the drinking trough. I'll provide them with feed. I will report when they were unwell, and we catered for them. They grew big because we were not in a hurry to sell them. Then one day they killed one of the big chicken, very big. And we were just few in the house. Just few. And I went to church. I like the way you're smiling. You know the story from the end to the beginning. I went to church and we closed. You know, those days we closed about 8 something. And I had to walk from church back home. Took about half an hour. So I go home, you know, about 9:30, 9:45. And then I was told that some food had been left for me and had been covered in the kitchen on the shelf. And when I opened it, it was the leg of the chicken from the knee downwards, not the thigh. Clap for the Lord. Clap for the Lord. I was an undergraduate student. I had been ordained as a pastor. I was serving for God to promote me. And we took time to rear the chicken. And there were just 2 adults and 2 little children who were less than 7 years old. And what I deserved on my plate was the leg of a chicken, not from the thigh, but from the knee, one knee, downstairs. I stood and I lifted my voice to heaven. And I said, let the despising cease. Lord, honor me in the midst of the dishonor. I didn't protest. I didn't talk to anybody. I never complained to anybody, so nobody knows about it. That's why I'm talking it freely today. There are some of you, you complain too much. You don't know what some of us have been through. And I hear, I say, if you are not ready to cater for a help, don't bring the help to your house. Otherwise, it will be a curse upon you. If you must do the right thing, especially if the people have a calling on their life, like Samuel in the house of Eli. Today, there is so much to eat. Not that I buy. Recently, I was begging a pastor friend because what he was ordering when we went to a restaurant was too much. He asked, "That is that what you call so and so?" And I saw the food being taken to another table. And the meat, different kinds. Duck, turkey, they were all on top of the thing. Kebab, this, that. And the thing was big. And I said, "I beg you, reduce the size to half." Oh, now I'm running away. There are things when you complain about, they will be like quails. When Israel eats, it will run down through their nose. Let's give gratitude to God. Okay. Oh, come on, do it better. Do it better. Give praise to God. The food that we give out, there's a gentleman who comes to help. The food that he eats, you have to be grateful. Can I plead with you to be grateful to God once again? Just be grateful to God. Yeah. Things will change for you. I said things will change for the better. I said things will change for the better. The shoulder. Can I be bold here and say, if you are bringing me something, bring the shoulder. Don't do those small things. They say pastor is arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I'm preaching the word. Mama, bono kwa meto no ni you Davi shoulder. I've eaten raw legs of chicken. Shall I continue to eat it? That grace may abound. Let me go on with my message. Now let me talk about the benefits of consecration. The benefits of consecration. Number one, it brings you closer to God. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Brings you closer to God. Number two, consecration is for divine approval. Men may approve of you and put you in a position, but the same men can throw you out. But when God approves of you and puts you in a position, no man can throw you out. Number three, consecration enables you to know the mind and the will of God. Because when you are consecrated, you'll be meditating on the word of God. You will stay in his presence continually. God will unfold and disclose to you his mind and his will. The will of God is the most important thing you should encounter after your salvation. What God wants you to do in this life. Number four. Consecration becomes your source of divine power. Moses went into the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know which water Moses had to bathe with. But the man was there. There was no supply of food. And the presence of God sustained him. These were unusual circumstances. Just like Christ, 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, nobody came to serve him bread or water. God sustained his body. So when he returned from the mountain, I'm talking about Moses now, he was glistening in the glory and the power of God. Israel could not behold him with their natural eyes, and they asked him to cover his face with a veil. Power. That is when Korah, Nathan, and Abihu were rebelled against him and said that you take too much upon yourself. We are also servants of God. Moses will say, separate yourself from these ones, and the earth will open and swallow them up. The man had power because he led a consecrated life. Number five, consecration opens you to God's favor. I'm talking about the mother of Jesus, Mary. She led a consecrated life, didn't pollute herself. And God blessed her. Number six, consecration makes God fight for you and defend you. King Belshazzar lost his kingdom because he had abused the use of the vessels that had been previously dedicated to the Lord. The one who dedicated it was dead and gone, but God was still alive. And said, it was dedicated to me. You should not be afraid of what should happen to your children. If you live a dedicated life, wherever they are, God will fight. Put your hands together. I'm teaching you a principle. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Number seven, you'll be made full or filled with the grace of God. Like I said, in the consecration of the priest, certain parts of the animal were allocated to them as the bullock was sacrificed. So these were presented to them and the shoulder was given to them. In Deuteronomy 18:3 it says, and these shall be the priest's due. The people from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be an ox or sheep, they shall give unto the priest the shoulder, the two cheeks, and the maw. The maw refers to the elements in the abdomen, the stomach. The shoulder of the bull symbolizes strength and power. And God is going to make you powerful. In conclusion, in Psalm 51, David, after he fell into sin with Bathsheba, decided to go into the presence of God to confess. And in his confession, there were revelations that came forth. In his confession, there were revelations that came forth about how to do it and do it properly. So Psalm number 51, amen. Is somebody in the house? Oh, I said, is somebody in the house, house? Amen and amen and amen and amen. So let's look at 51. And then we go to the Lord's table. So those online, get ready your elements, because today we are going to the Lord's table. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Look at verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4, he says, against thee and thee only. He may have done it to man, but he said the thing was against God. And thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Then it comes to that I was shipping in iniquity. But I want you to drop down a little. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. He says in verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the heart, and the hidden part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Now look at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I like your spontaneous response. I like your spontaneous response to God. David was not defending himself. David was not arguing. David was not passing on blame to another. He accepted it. And though he committed it against man, he acknowledged he had done it against God. He went before God. And he poured his heart so God will have mercy upon him. In consecration, you don't look over your shoulders. You don't say that person is much more a sinner than I. But you look into your life. Today you may be sanctified, but you could be better sanctified even tomorrow. Can I hear an amen? Yesterday you may have been sanctified, but you can still be better sanctified today. So don't look at some people and say, oh, they are not pure. You take your life to God. Let what concerns you matter. Can I hear an amen? And say, God, I missed it. I missed your will. I took a decision that was not good enough. I acted out of character. I didn't do well, and have come to plead for your mercy. I want you to forgive me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Oh, come on. Let every head be bowed. Every eye closed. Cleanse me. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Cleanse me. Say to God, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Mayonirivisaya brosh telerebakataya. Miyano masuste yebresh telerebakaya brokataya. May the grace of consecration reach us. May the grace of sanctification come upon the church, upon our families, and upon our households. May that which would have been judgment be averted. We activate your mercy, O God, upon your people. We declare, protect us from the sins of our forebears, the creeping judgment that may otherwise have manifested in our generation. Father, hold it back and let it not happen. Release us out of stagnation and let us flow like a stream. Let us please you. We ask that you be happy with us after you have washed us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mayonisaya brosh telerebakaya. Mikonoromosia batoyo bro. Mayon saya brakaban. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Oh, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew the right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh Lord, and renew the right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh Lord, and renew a right spirit in me. And renew a right spirit within me. Let's sing it. Cast me not away. Cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of all thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away, cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Renew a right spirit, and renew right spirit within me. Let's sing. Oh, cast me not away. Oh, from thy presence, oh Lord. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Oh, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, oh, and renew the right spirit within me. Joshua chapter 3 verse 5. The Bible says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow I will do wonders. For tomorrow I will do amazing things. For tomorrow, my hand will wrought signs and wonders. For tomorrow, I will bless you. But before then, the Bible says, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow, I will do wonders. God wants to do wonders, but he wants us to sanctify ourselves. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? He wants a change. He wants to see change. He wants to see his grace come upon us, but it will be preceded by change. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Oh, say amen. Say amen. I'm preaching this message because I see God is going to do some miracles. I therefore stand as a servant of God under the leadership of the Spirit of God, and I hereby declare that the next 30 days are days of consecration. It doesn't nullify any declaration of God for the month. It just simply adds to the stock of blessings. It means that from today, from tomorrow, to the end of the month, how many days has October? You have 30 days. Yeah, we're starting today. We have started the first, but we're starting our fasting and prayer. We're calling it 30 days of consecration. That's what we're calling it. You see, when you're consecrated, there are some miracles that will just happen. There are some doors that will open. Oh, say amen. There are some opportunities that will come. 30 days of consecration. Don't think about the food. Think about the presence of God. And by the time you realized, the day would have gone far for you. Can I hear an amen? If you do it faithfully, it will inure to your benefit. The other day, somebody told me that, Pastor, I take some medicine, and the people who gave it to me say I should take it at 6 o'clock and take it at 12 o'clock, so I can't come to church on Sundays. I said, you can shift it to 8 o'clock and do the next one at 2 o'clock so that you are in church. He said, oh, it's the Chinese people who taught me. So, I'm not pushing you into a situation to experience, those who understand me, hypoglycemia. But a coconut juice can sustain you. We are consecrating ourselves. Wonto nuncho awa woni wo chuo he. Kone fewo krong krong. Koni jo money yo kehawale. Kone jo. I didn't hear an amen. You will do something today, and tomorrow the benefit that you will get, you'll be shocked. Oh, come on, put your hands together. That means for our online services, they are activated. Wednesday I'm preaching again. I want the whole house to be full. I want you to come with a heart of readiness. That sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, God will do wonders. Do your best to come. Do your best. Oh, Pastor, as for those excuses, you can give it. You can give it. But if it's a funeral, you would travel from here to Tafo. We are going to the Lord's table. I gather that God is going to do wonders. If you believe that, put your hands together. So we do our fasting Monday to Friday. Saturdays, we do it up to 10 o'clock. The reason is that there's a lot to do. So those of us who will be in the woods, as soon as we finish the woods, we're going. We'll put a vehicle here. Make sure that the next, is it four or five? There are five Sundays in this month. I think, but there are four Saturdays, I think. So Power Willow will put a vehicle here for our Saturdays. Wednesdays, don't miss it. You come. Don't sit there and say, oh, Pastor, oh, stop that language. When the devil comes to attack, you will change. You will run. I declare that this element that symbolizes the body and blood of Jesus acquires supernatural properties. They become elements of grace that will transfer grace into our lives. We by so declare that so did Jesus receive his stripes in his body, that through those stripes we shall receive healing. Father, let us be healed emotionally, psychologically, physically, financially, socially, and materially. We ask in the name of Jesus, in the same way Jesus said, this is the New Testament fulfilled in my blood. Let the blood speak better things than the blood of Abel. Let the blood of Jesus speak peace for us. Let the blood of Jesus draw us closer, further. And let the blood of Jesus secure for us a future of victory and blessing. I prophesy that within this period, outstanding miracles shall be met. Can I hear an amen? On that score, we declare these elements sanctified and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, as the elements come, there are two layers. The first layer, when you peel it off, well, it will give you the wafer, which is now the body of Christ. And the second element will give you the communion wine, which is the blood of Jesus Christ now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you, Lord. Mayondiri biki abosasta brash telere bakundiri. Manuni ti abasosto yo broko bodike beti. Tumatina ramashala rababo kiaba. Ayababa nu sibre kebezis da yabra. Yima manduri bikaya brosh telere babandiri bikaya. Thank you. Aye yi seno won famane osaye yo. Those online, pick your elements. I bless them for you. I bless them for you. Mayondiri bikia basaya brosh telere bakaya. I bless the bread, I bless the wine. I declare now they are the body and the blood of Jesus. Moyoso. The Bible says Jesus and his disciples sang. Oh, in Shiraseno, Wamvamane, Osen Shira, Ye Junyamia, Yahwa, Ye Osen Shira, Oh, Nyankupong, Niye. Wafu kesi, hallelujah, asafu, asafu,
there'll be healings in your bodies.
Shall we rise up, please? Please rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Body of Christ and partake of it. May stomach ulcers be healed. May migraine headaches be healed. May infections in the body be healed. May swellings in the eyes be healed. May sore throats be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ. May challenges in our alimentary canal be healed. That night after he had blessed the blood, he said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. Go ahead and partake of it." Thank you.